Well, welcome to the beginning of our series, and it's all about worship, just to let you know. That's what the next five messages are going to be. It's about worship. How do we worship? What does worship look like? How's worship defined? Well, to start out, I've always been fascinated by space travel, and I think it began in second grade. Does anybody know what would have happened in 62? John Glenn orbited the Earth. Teacher dragged a TV into the room. You knew it was something big when that happened. Those were always big events during a school day when the TV came in. And so I just thought that was fascinating to see this thing take off. It was incredible. I think it probably got furthered on when Star Wars came out in 77, 15 years later. And I saw spaceships traveling from one galaxy to another. That made me think about all the wonder that is beyond here, right? It's probably also cool because spaceships like the Millennium Falcon could take off at light speed and be on the other side of the universe in seconds. I realize that's not how actual space travel works for now. And it does a little injustice to all the preparation that is actually required in space travel, right? Think about a rocket sitting at a launch pad for a moment. It's towering. It's loaded with potential. It's been built for months, sometimes years, before that one moment, liftoff. But the liftoff and the launch isn't just about the moment the engines ignite. There are thousands of steps that come before that fiery rise into the sky. Technicians spend countless hours checking systems, observing fuel tanks, running diagnostics. There's all the time communicating with ground control. Then comes the countdown, T-minus 10, 9, 8, the world holds its breath. I remember that. And then finally it approaches 1. When the liftoff finally happens, something amazing occurs. The rocket, get this, burns 90% of its fuel just to break free from the Earth's atmosphere. That moment, the launch, is the most energy-intensive part of the entire mission. I want you to grasp that and remember that. What happens during that moment? It's the moment everyone claps. Everyone gives high fives. Everyone hugs. Why? Because without proper preparation, the rocket would never make it to where it's meant to go. And that last part is the part most of us miss. The liftoff is just the beginning of the journey. And the preparation is not just for the moment, but the mission that lies ahead. Welcome to week one of our series, The Other 167. We know it's a little strange to call that, but the meaning is rooted in the idea that how many hours are there in a week? 168. And we'll explore how worship should permeate our lives 24/7, not just the 1 hour we spend here together on Sundays. If I asked you what is the most important hour in your week, what was the most important, you would probably have to think about that for a while. Maybe, is it work? Is it my home life? Is it doing something I love? Is it something that I accomplished? And what if I told you the most important hour of your week wasn't in the middle or the end of your week, but at the beginning of the other 167? The truth is that our spiritual lives, many of us have carved out this one, this precious hour on Sunday, as our God time. And that's beautiful. That's sacred. That's important. Don't get me wrong. It's our opportunity to worship in the midst of our busy, chaotic, priority-filled weeks. But here's what we want to challenge you with in this new series. What if the real worship begins when you leave this building? In other words, this hour isn't the end of your worship. It's the spark. It's the check in the engines. It's the check in the fuel tanks. It's making sure that everything's right. It's the launch pad, the liftoff that springboards you on for the other 167 to follow. It's the moment where we reset our hearts, we recenter our focus, and realign with God to live worshipfully through every part of our lives in the other 167. I know most of you know that deep within you. I know that you know that, but I think it's good that we remind ourselves of that. In a previous series, we looked at the dictionary definition of worship as this: the reverent love and a devotion accorded to a deity, an idol, or a sacred object. Now, That can be the worship of anything. But when we are talking about authentically worshiping God, where and how does that happen? That doesn't mean that this time together, spending together, isn't crucial. It is. So today, we're going to talk about why this hour matters. We're going to talk about how it prepares us to worship God in the rest of our lives outside of this building, in our jobs, in our relationships, in our choices, in our service towards each other. Because worship is not just a song. It's a way of life. Meaning, the gathering is how I prepare for worship. So let's dissect what not only what we do here when we gather, but more importantly, why we do here the stuff that we do when we gather. Starting with understanding we gather to prepare my heart. The writer of Hebrews reminds us all of this very important idea. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Let's start here with this powerful instruction. Notice the scripture doesn't say, go to church, check a box. It doesn't say, show up for an hour and feel religious. Nope. It says, don't give up meeting together. Why? Because you need this. You need this. We need this and we need each other. Don't you know that that's why part of the grieving process of pandemic was that we lost that for a while. And it still has lingering hurts to me. And it's not just because it gives me comfort or that there's routine or because we're forgetful. It's because we drift. We get distracted. We get busy. And we easily lose perspective. The author is writing to a group of people in this passage who were feeling the pressure of culture. Anyone? So they were pulling away from their community of faith. Others were sliding into spiritual isolation. Others were falling into the cultural traps. But here's the truth. We were never, ever meant to live out our faith alone, ever. When we gather like this right now, something deeply formational happens. And in that shared experience, our hearts are recentered. We remember who God is. We're reminded that the God who created the galaxies is almighty beyond our imagination. And yet, he knows your name. This is a call of remembrance that we are his beloved, called, forgiven, and sent people. One of my favorite descriptions of our gathering is the phrase, holy huddle. Now, I know there's something cheesy about that and maybe a little off-putting, but there's something deeply meaningful about that in that idea for me. Because before you step onto the field of life, before you step into the mess and motion of your week, you're invited to gather with your team. We're holy huddling. Here we metaphorically lock arms. We hear the plays called and reminded of the goal. Here your heart is focused so that when you step out there, you're ready. That happens in the huddle. There's a value in community gathering. It makes me so happy that community is in the name of our gathering here together. Faith community. We celebrate the sacraments. We pray and encourage each other. We laugh with each other. We love each other. I would love a recording just of that outside the sanctuary every Sunday morning to hear the laughter and the conversation and the love that's shared with each other. But we need to remember, the huddle's not the game. I think that's where the negative part of holy huddle comes, is you got to break out of the huddle. The huddle's very, very important, but you can't stay there. Boy, you'd like to sometimes, wouldn't you? But this moment is not the destination. It's the preparation. Because worshiping together here trains my heart to worship God when I'm alone. When it's Monday morning and the TV's screaming at me, when it's Wednesday and the pressure of trying to get the right sermon written is crushing me, or your pressure of your work is crushing you, when it's Friday night and you're fighting loneliness or temptation or just plain exhaustion. That's what the writer of Hebrews is getting at. We meet together not just to sing and to sit and listen. We meet to what? Spur each other on. Towards what? Toward love and good deeds. That happens in community, not just here. In fact, rarely just here. Community is found during the other 167 for support, for care, for encouragement, for fun. Let me say it this way. This hour doesn't exist to contain your worship. It exists to ignite it. Worship is not just what we do when the band plays, although I do. I certainly do, and I know you certainly do. Worship is how you respond to God in your every decision, your every relationship, your every moment. So like a coach, let me give you the pep talk. Don't underestimate this moment. Don't treat it like an obligation to check off. Treat it like the countdown. Believe that the world is about to see Jesus, not just in this room, but through you. The gathering prepares my heart. And we sing together to prepare my spirit. Here's how the Apostle Paul says it. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, that's a good start to a phrase, isn't it? And whatever you do, I think he's really important. This is important, what I'm going to tell you right now. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Have you ever woken up with a song stuck in your head? I know that's a dumb question because I know every one of you have. And I don't care if it's a Muppet song or a Christian praise song or a VeggieTales song, you get a song stuck in your head. Maybe it's a random pop song that you heard you don't even like, right? You end up repeating, you wonder, why is that in there? Why is that in there? Get out of there. Or have you ever heard of someone humming or whistling, you started to do the same thing. What's up with that? I mean, it happens to all of us. It's a universal thing. And I find myself doing that often with worship songs. We just did a new song a few weeks ago, and it was playing in my head over and over in my subconscious. I didn't call it up and say, oh, I remember when the band played this. It was beautiful. No, it was there. It was planted. I wasn't realizing that it was still echoing from that Sunday. And here's my proposal to you. When that happens, it's not accidental. That is spiritual formation. That's what Paul is talking about here in Colossians. God uses music to shape his people, to strengthen us, to remind us of what's true. When we sing lyrics like, you are faithful, or you never fail on Sunday, it may just feel like a response in that moment, but it's more than that. It's preparation. Because you might not know it yet, but Wednesday's coming. And when it does, and the bottom falls out, or when the doctor calls, or the stress hits, or the doubt creeps in, you need something to hold on to. You need truth that has already been planted in your spirit. That's why we sing. Worship today is strength for tomorrow. It's not hype. It's not just emotional. Sometimes I get emotional, but that's not the point. It's spiritual training. We sing, and the truth goes deeper when we sing. We sing, and gratitude grows. We sing, and the spirit is stirred within us. I know that you know this is true. That's the beauty of this. I'm so positive that this is true, and I know that you know that. Because you might not always have a Bible in your hands when you need it, but you may remember the line from that chorus that is the anchor of truth that you need. He is faithful. He'll never forget me. He knows my name. That's how music works. God wired it that way, to bypass our defenses and to lodge truth in the deepest part of our spirits. So when we sing together, we're not just filling time before the message. We are aligning ourselves with God's heart. We are tuning our spirits to his voice. Think yourself, anybody remember a radio when you tuned a radio like that? Ooh, that's ancient history, isn't it? We're letting the message of Christ dwell for the days ahead. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite the band up we're going to sing a song that gives voice to this truth. And I don't want you to look at this as a musical break. I want you to look at this as spiritual preparation. And I want you to let these lyrics wash over you. Let them plant truth deep in your spirit. So, band, why don't you come up? And as we sing, allow God to strengthen you, not just for now, not just for this moment, but for the moments that lie ahead, for that Wednesday afternoon when you have to summon up something to get you through a rough time, to get you through something that you just can't do on your own. To what we just say, because that truth wasn't meant just for this room. It was meant for your real life, more than a song. That's what we almost named the series, More Than a Song, because when we think of worship, we often think of praise songs. Singing together prepares your spirit to create Christ's peace, His word, His promises to every hour of your week. So next time a worship song gets stuck in your head, don't roll your eyes or try to change the situation. Thank God, because He's preparing you. He's inviting you to join Him in the chorus of His song. And finally, we gather to set my spiritual rhythm. Notice how carefully these words about Jesus. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. He was preaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Isn't that fascinating? Jesus, the Son of God, had a rhythm. Notice what Luke doesn't say. He went to the synagogue once in a while. Notice also it doesn't say he went when he felt like it or when his schedule was free. There's intentionality to what Luke writes here that should not be overlooked. Luke didn't just record Jesus teaching, performing miracles. He specifically points out that Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom. In other words, it was his rhythm. It was his routine. It was his way of life. Think about that. If Jesus, who had a perfect connection with the Father, still made it a priority to gather regularly with others in worship, how much more do I need it? Do you need it? We all live by rhythms. The rhythm of your work week, the rhythm of school, the rhythm of emails, meetings, soccer practice, meal prep. Everything about us is set to a rhythm. And here's something we often don't realize until we feel it. When we miss the gathering, we're not just missing a service, we're disrupting our spiritual rhythm. It's like starting a race without stretching, or beginning a road trip without checking the map. You can still go. You can still move. But you're more likely to pull something or drift off course. When we skip this moment, when we put gathering on the back burner, we don't just break a streak. We cheat ourselves. We miss the recalibration of our souls so desperately you need. We miss the encouragement from others we don't even know we need. Because spiritual rhythms are essential. The moment he sets the rhythm so that when other noise hits, you're not thrown off beat. The gathering is how I prepare for worship. We gather together to prepare my heart, to prepare my spirit, to set my rhythm. Those aren't the only reasons this exists. There are so many more elements of our gathering that matter. We're just touching those three. And yes, this hour matters, but not just for Sunday. It's for your Monday through Saturday too. This hour is a gift from God to reset your soul, realign your purposes, and refocus your heart. Show up expectant every Sunday, believing that God will meet you here and he'll speak to you. Show up knowing that this is not the end, but the beginning, the launch pad, the countdown, the spark. 1 hour down, almost, 167 to go. See you next week.